Hey, Odie.
Hello, we are on.
Awesome.
Cool. Yep. Well, welcome to episode 2 of Hody Rez in the Mag. I'm Hody Rez.
And I'm the Mag.
And we are currently not in the same room, which is perfectly fine because I am in my underwear, and that's a sight you probably don't want to see.
That's true. I do not want to see you in your underwear.
So, today's episode, we will be talking about our wacky experiences from our jobs. Some stories that will make you laugh, make you cry, warm your heart. Probably not so much.
I think mine will warm the heart a little bit, mostly because they're just funny.
I look forward to it, sir. Well, whenever you're ready, get us going.
Okay, so each one of my stories are going to require a little bit of backstory, and this first one won't require so much. This one, I got to roll the clock back to about, I want to say 2012-ish. And so most businesses do a little Secret Santa type deal, and I was working at Greyhound, the bus company, at the time. Yeah, so we did do the Secret Santa thing, and, well, the person I drew was my boss's boss's boss. So, now, of course, like with most businesses, we had a $20 limit. If you go over by a buck or two, no one's really going to care. But, you know, you try to keep it within 20 bucks. And considering at the time, I barely had five, that was a non-issue. So, we did the drawing, I don't know, maybe about a month ahead of time. And, of course, I just completely forgot about it until the day of.
Oops.
That morning, I didn't have to come into work till 10 or 11 o'clock. I don't remember. But came into, it was that morning at like 8 o'clock. Fortunately, there was a Walmart between my apartment and the bus station. So, and I remembered, I was just like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. So I was like, what do I know about this guy? He's a guy. He's an old guy.
That's a good start.
Let's see. What would I want, since I'm really an old man at heart? So let's go to Walmart. Let's see what I got. Let's see what my options are. So I went over to the Walmart and just started looking around. I was like, all right, guy section, guy section. Unfortunately, there's not a sign in Walmart that just says guy section.
Yep.
So went around for a bit. I was like, tools. Oh, tools. That's cool for every guy, myself included. So I went and looked around, and I found this multi-tool. It's like $5. It's like, hold on, let me check my wallet. Okay, I got a $5 bill, and taxes won't push this over. Woohoo! Oh. So went, grabbed the tool. So, of course, you know, you go to the checkout, you put it in the bag. Put it in the bag, took out the receipt whenever I got back to my car. I was driving a car at the time, not a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And so got into the office. Like, I still had it wrapped up in the bag. And I just wrote my boss's name on the Walmart sack, put it with the other presents. And everyone's like, if it was anyone other than you, we would be surprised. But because it's you, we know that you have absolutely no decoration of any kind or any creative skills at all. So that actually makes sense. Problem is, we know it was you. So, and then my boss, then whenever we started, you know, unwrapping our presents, my boss sees it and he's like, this is Adam, isn't it? Everyone's just like, yes, I didn't even have a chance to say, no, of course not. No, he knew immediately because, you know, there was a rapport there. He opened it up. He's like, oh, a multi-tool. Huh. Good job. I know exactly what I'm going to do about this. And he told me, like, the tale of what he had planned for this thing. He didn't even know that that's what he was getting. He already had a plan, like, a mile long. And, you know, of course, on the outside, I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome, yeah. Whereas on the inside, I'm wiping my brow, going, whew!
Good job.
Thank you. If that doesn't qualify as wacky, I don't know what does.
Sir, I will allow it.
Thank you.
Of course. Of course. I guess my first tale isn't so... It's not very specific. It's just the story of how I landed my first job.
Okay.
So, I remember hanging out with my buddy. Yeah, screw it. We'll say his name. Andy.
Yeah, it's been enough years. I'm sure that it doesn't matter at this point.
And I really hope he's listening and going, oh, yeah, I remember that. Andy, wherever you are, God bless your soul.
Advertise to him.
I was talking to him. I was like, hey, Andy, you have a job. And mind you, we were juniors in high school at the time. You have a job.
That would explain why you would exclaim in such a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I work at the dry cleaners across the street. This is from right next to our high school. So convenient for me, okay. I could just walk over there. I was like, cool. If you don't mind me asking, how much do you make? Mind you, this was circa 2006 or 7.
And that sounds about right.
Of course, we were both in high school, so any amount of money you dump sounds like a lot, but he was like, yeah, I make $12.50. I'm thinking $12.50 working at a dry cleaner store. Sign me up. I need this in my life. I apply. Not 2 days later. Okay, yeah, we'd like you to come back for an interview. So,
word.
I come to find out that the owner of the place is actually his aunt. And nepotism played its part into why he got such a generous amount of money per hour.
Well, there's an old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, exactly. But she's eager to sign me on, and she's like, okay, will you take $6.25 an hour? Which...
That was around minimum wage at the time. Well, no, that was about $1 over minimum wage.
Yeah, I want to say minimum at the time was maybe $5.35, which...
I think it was 5.25 at the time.
Probably. What an astronomically low number. My God. But I was like, look, I need some money. Maybe, you know, if I grind my ass off, I'll get that Andy money eventually. So I was like, yeah, sure, sign me up. Well, I never did make that Andy money. I stayed happily at $6.25 for my entire tenure there, which only lasted a few months before I got bored of it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, nothing really sticks out except maybe the equipment that was still from, like, the 1950s that broke down every day. There was a guy, thankfully, who knew how to work the equipment working with us who, bless his heart, I'm telling you, every day had to repair something else. If something wasn't on fire or steaming or just sparks shooting out of it. He had to fix it. And probably the most memorable thing for me was their daughter that they would bring to work with them on the weekends, who was this cute, you know, Vietnamese girl who attended college.
Okay.
And let me just say that really did bring all the pervs to the yard. Every Saturday, a bunch of creepy old guys come in to drop off clothes or whatnot. The same usual suspects, and always flirting with her.
She was oblivious, wasn't she?
She played the part of oblivious very well. I'm sure she was just like, okay, these guys are weird. But she was always just kind of, oh, hi, we're so silly. And I just rolled my eyes every time these guys walked in. Just, oh. So, dry cleaners, that lasted all about 2 months. I was really rolling in the dough then, yeah. I think I finally saved up enough money to buy my very first cell phone, which was, at the time, a cool achievement, but I quickly realized I didn't really have much money for anything else, and just decided it wasn't worth my time, at least not until post-high school, to get another job.
That's fair.
What have you got for us?
Okay, so, wow, we're going through these stories a lot faster than we did last week.
No, don't you worry. Don't you worry. Number two is going to be a little longer, at least for me.
Okay, so my story number two, it is a little longer, but it's not a doozy. Well, not in length sense. So this one, we're taking a time jump to September-ish 2016. And this is when I was in the Army. Ooh. Well, I'm in the Army, but this was jumping ahead a couple of jobs. So, while in the Army, I was stationed in Germany at the time. And there were four times we went to Poland. And this was the second time that we went to Poland. Well, the first night that we went there, this was like a training exercise thing. The first night that we were there, we went to the city in Poland called Łódź. Don't ask how to spell it. It does not look like how it sounds.
Łódź.
Yeah. But so me and basically a group of the guys in my platoon, we're just hanging out that night, just going up and down the one street in that city that doesn't look like a damn DMZ. just getting plastered. Which is, well, let's just say we stuck to liquor, because Polish beer, with one exception, is not good.
Hmm.
They didn't have one exception.
Take your word for it. I mean, this sounds what I would expect a typical night in Europe to be like for Army folk.
It's far more accurate to what people would imagine. Well, anyway, so one of the guys we were hanging with, so I need to mention this one detail. Don't ask me why, but one of my nicknames that I had while I was over there was Noose.
I want to ask why.
Well, I'm saying don't ask me why, because I don't know.
Fair.
But anyway, we were all saying goodbye, you know, all right, cheers, bud, woo, and, you know, we were all going our separate ways. Well, one of the guys in my platoon, I don't remember his first name, so I'm just going to call him Eric. Well, as he departs, he goes, hang tight, Noose.
No.
That was how he said goodbye. Hang tight, Noose.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, it's like, wait, did that just happen? did you really just tell a gallo to hang tight?
That's not good.
Yeah. So from that point on, because of that instance, people in my unit more often were calling me Noose. It was only like one person, but after that it was more like 20 or 25.
Man, it's one thing to be stuck with a bad nickname, but when an entire gang of people start doing it, no, I can only imagine how irritated you were after the first six times.
I didn't hate it. There are far worse nicknames to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now if it was something like Fuckstick, okay, then I have a problem with it. But, you know, that is what it is.
Right on.
So, yeah, that's my whole story number two. I mean, you know, it didn't require a lot of backstory, but, you know. I don't know how wacky it is, but there you go.
It warmed my heart. That's the key right there.
You're welcome.
I'm gingerly sipping a beer. I don't know about you, but...
Now I'm going for a walk after this. I don't plan on... Well, I may grab a Guinness later tonight. I'm not sure yet.
Attaboy. Do it.
Okay.
All right, so check this out. This is probably... I would say, on paper, the most interesting job I've had.
Okay.
I spent a week touring small town Texas, dressed up as a duck, telling kids not to smoke. This was a real campaign.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
So my friend hooked me up. He told me about this company he was working for, and their job was to basically get money by the state government to, you know, go out and promote these like good well-being type programs, one of them being tobacco is foul. Yeah, like the duck foul, haha.
Ah.
Real thing, yeah. So,
yeah.
The main character, who presumably, I don't even remember his name, Mr. Quackers or something, I don't know. I have no idea, I don't remember. I just remember I was dressed up as a giant cartoony duck, and we went to these elementary schools in the middle of nowhere, like, you know, bumfuck Texas, which I could tell you the names of these cities. I only remember a handful of them. There was like Burke Burnett, which I think is on the border of Oklahoma. Quanta. I don't know. But we spent a week traveling, and let me tell you, it's one thing to be dressed up as a duck and hop around and, you know, try to get these kids energetic. But you have to do that for an entire day, you know, for every single grade or grade group for a school. It gets gross in there. And this is basically, you know, end of the year. It's like April or something. So it's pretty hot.
Yeah. And if it's not December or January in Texas, it's usually somewhere in, like, you know, the 120, 130 degree range.
Oh, yeah. And then add in a suit, and I'm dying. I would get out of the costume, and it would just reek of sweat. Oh, God. Someone who had worn the costume before that was touring with us was like, oh, yeah, just get some Febreze and spray it in there. So I did that, and then I spent the rest of my days in a suit that reeked of BO and Febreze, and I'm just basically choking inside, trying to dance and put on a show for these poor kids. Yeah, so a couple of takeaways that I really remember. Let me just say, if you don't already do this, you need to start doing this every time. If you go to a hotel, once you get in bed, the first thing you need to immediately do is untuck the covers. Just straight tear the blanket off of the bed. One morning, I shit you not, I woke up and it was 2 or 3 in the morning and I had zero feeling in my legs, like crotch down. That blanket was so skin tight, it just cut off the entire circulation of my legs.
Ah.
Could you imagine going to a doctor because your legs are totally dead, no circulation, no blood going on? You have to tell this doctor, hey, this happened because I was under the blanket at a hotel. So thankfully that did not happen to me. I quickly unfucked myself and got out of that situation. And yeah, quickly blood circulation started coming back.
Well, if blood circulation is not working in my legs, I think I'd be more concerned about blood circulation in my junk. But that's so...
You're right. I gotta look at the positives in all this. I could still feel my member.
Good. I am proud of you.
Thanks. Another thing that happened while I was there, in a different city, different hotel, I went to bed with my head on the pillows next to the end of the bed at normal sleeping position. Wake up in the morning, I somehow managed to do an entire 180 degree flip to where my head was at the foot of the bed, feet were by the pillows. Don't know how I did that.
You're a pretty tall dude, so that doesn't seem physiologically or anatomically possible.
You know, if it didn't happen to me, I would have said it was impossible, but I'm just going to say it. I think most cities in Texas are probably haunted. We probably just stayed at a ghost town or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Okay, so one more story about this adventure. It was me, who happens to be a Hispanic man. In case our listeners aren't aware, surprise. A white guy and an African-American lady traveling. It was the three of us going together. And okay. We stop at a weird small-town restaurant, again, middle of nowhere. I'm not going to say... I'd like to think that we're better than the stereotypes in Texas. You know, I don't think that we're all just a bunch of racist rednecks, but that's the kind of restaurant we totally walked into. People were just staring at us the entire time we're eating. And at least the waitress was nice, but man, it was just comfortable. I was like, we just gotta eat and get the hell out of here. Like, this is weird.
Were you wearing the duck suit while you were in there?
Proud to say that I was not.
Now, are your feelings hadn't returned yet?
There, you cannot sit down in that suit. Like, once you put on that suit, you become 9 feet tall. You are a giant, and yeah, there is little room to maneuver.
Well, apparently you could bounce up and down.
I was able to do that. I think a couple times my ass wanted to fall off, so I had to, you know, hold on to my butt while jumping.
Oh, wow.
So,
you said you only did that for like a week, right?
Yeah, I only did that for a week. They tried to get me.
I don't blame you for 1 second.
The pay was pretty cool. I mean, granted, I liked it. They tried to get me to do it another time, and I was just like, no, I can't stand that suit.
I wouldn't have done it either.
But yeah, if you ever get bored, I don't know if you can find archival footage of me hopping around, but you can certainly find the cartoons on YouTube.
Well, what was the name of the company? That way, if any listeners so desire to observe said Hody in his natural environment.
Yeah, just me in a swamp, dressed up as a giant duck, trying to fit in with the actual ducks of the pond. But that was called Tobacco is Foul.
Okay. Like, I remember you mentioning that now, but that was long enough ago that our listeners may need to have a slight reminder. So, Tobacco is Foul.
Yep.
Now I want to look that up.
Do it.
Yeah, well, afterward.
Okay, well, we will take a quick break, have a little sponsorship promo, and then get right back to the story time telling of such.
Excellent.
I gotta work on my dialogue. We'll be right back. And we're back.
What's up?
Not a whole lot of man.
All right, so suppose it's my turn this time, and I got myself story number 3. And I'm not going to lie, I genuinely enjoy telling this one because it's one of the funniest things I've ever said. It does, however, require a lot of backstory.
Go for it. We've got nothing but time here.
This is true. I mean, you know, everyone's locked up, so there's that. But so I mentioned that we went to Poland a few times and I was stationed in Germany. Well, this was one of the other trips that we took to Poland. And this was me and 3 other guys in my platoon in a van driving together, just bullshitting as one does, or as 4 do.
Mm-hmm.
So we had had a couple of different NCOs up to that point, NCO being a sergeant of some level. And so one of them, I'm just going to call him Stacy. That was one of his nicknames.
Cool.
And so I have to describe his personality. He was a smart dude. But at the same time, he was a dirty bastard. Like, he was a weird guy. Like, he would tell us stories about when he grew up. This was one of his stories. So, this one time when I was growing up, I heard my parents having sex.
Oh, no.
Only I thought it was my brother making noise in his next room. So I went into his room, beat the shit out of him. And then from that point on, my parents may put a lock on my brother's bedroom door that can only be locked from the inside.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. See, another thing he would talk about was, my parents were redesigning the house growing up. So, you know, they tore the wall out of my room, and then they ran out of money. So I spent the winter without a wall in my room. I can make a whole podcast just talking about this guy if I remembered all the stories. But yeah, he would have no problem talking about like his parents doing weird shit like that. And this important detail is very is or this next detail is a very important detail. He would always go, before he said anything. You know, like if we said, "Hey, you know, Stacy, quote unquote, can we go to lunch now?" I guess.
I'm getting Sling Blade vibes from this dude.
The was not far from that same noise that Billy Bob Thornton made famous.
Do you ever talk about French fried taters?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, the other guy, I have to say his name or the story won't make sense. I have not talked to him in years, and I doubt he's listening to this podcast. His name is Babcock. So, back to the tale of the four of us in the van on our journey to Poland. Oh, so I also have to describe Babcock a little bit before I delve into the tale. So Babcock, he would kind of make like an O with his mouth and breathe out. Just, oh. You know, yeah, that.
I'm trying it now.
Yeah. I got that's. That's about all I can do with that. So, like, I'm not sure if he was on the spectrum or not, but, like, he definitely had social anxiety, to say the least. Really had trouble, you know, connecting to people. I mean, he eventually did start to get over it, at least, you know, to an extent.
Sure.
I won't pretend to be a psychiatrist or anything like that. But yeah, he was very awkward. So now onto the tale of me and the other three traveling on our trip. Well, Stacy and Babcock had never met each other. One left Germany before the other one had arrived. So basically we were just coming up with this scenario, what if those two guys had met? One of them in the van says, yeah, I think they would just have like a breathe off. It'd just be like, it would just go back and forth between Stacy and Babcock.
Oh, that's,
oh, it gets better.
Thought, really.
And my exact response to that was, no, actually, it would just be Stacy going, how many cocks have you babbed? One of the guys in the van was like, wait, did you just make bab a verb?
The act of babbing.
Yeah, I looked that up in Urban Dictionary. It's not there. Well, at the very least, it's not as a verb. So I invented a word without even, or I invented a verb without even knowing it.
There you go. You gotta publish that on Urban Dictionary before our avid listeners do.
Oh, it's probably already there by now.
Yeah, that was what, 4 years ago.
Three or four, something like that, yeah.
That's plenty of time. There's all kinds of weird verbiage being added.
See what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's my third story.
All right, well, let's see. My third story will take us to 2012. And probably to to my favorite gig, I think. I had gotten a job as a toll booth operator.
Okay.
Pretty simple, you know, it's a big highway.
Give me your money, motherfucker, or we're going to fucking arrest you?
Oh, no, no, no. I had no jurisdiction like that. All I could do was say, okay, push a button. And believe you me, there were tons of people. Well, I'm not going to pay. All right, buddy, see you later. Cameras is going to take your photo and bill you in the mail.
And it's going to cost about 40 times via ticket than it will versus if you just paid me now.
Essentially, yeah. Had a bunch of people. Mind you, this was in Austin. I am born and raised in Austin. Spent 27 years of my life living there. God, now I feel old.
We're the same age, bud. Keep going.
People would come up to me and go, I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen a toll road. It's like, well, you've clearly never driven on Mopac north of Palmer Lane before. My Austin listeners, yeah, Palmer, woo, say another street. Metric. Okay. So, a couple of stories from the adventures of the toll booth. Plenty of times I would have girls come up and flirt with me for a little while. And it was cute, you know, like, oh, hee hee.
I'm trying to get out of pain. Ha ha.
Doesn't work. You can't.
I know.
You can't. You can't. I don't. I refuse to sell out.
You are a man of integrity, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who would not take that, so.
Also,
yes.
They would fire you for the most mundane of reasons, basically. Like, if you're off by, like, 50 cents. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, look, I'm sorry. You're cute, but this job means too much to me. So I worked overnight. I should say that. Working overnight, and, yeah, that really brings the crazies out.
I believe that.
But, yeah, going back to the girls who would flirt and stuff, this group of people come up. And it's mostly a guy just asking for directions, but he's got, like, two or three girls in the car.
Okay.
I presume the girl in the passenger seat next to him was probably his girlfriend, but she seemed to be pretty intoxicated. And he's just asking for directions. He's like, hey, how do I go here to here? She pushes her head through. She's like, hey, have you ever, has anyone ever flashed you? And I'm like, no. And well, you can imagine what happened there. Yep. She went ahead and whipped up her shirt, showed, you know, dumped him out, showed me her titties.
I can honestly say I've never had that happen at a job before.
I was like, cool. And you could tell this guy, he just got beat red. He was so embarrassed. But then, you know, the next thing she asked, hey, has anyone ever showed you their ass before? Now, I should have probably said, yes, they have. Please don't do
please
this.
Please don't do that.
Don't embarrass yourself in front of your boyfriend. Don't embarrass your boyfriend. But dumbass me, you know, no one ever has. Well, sure enough, she gets out of her seat, throws down her pants, shows me her butt.
Well then.
This guy's just like, because I gave him the instructions. He's like, oh, thanks. I gotta go. Like, yeah, you do. you do. And so, another thing that happened while I was working the nights, I see a tour van come up. Now, people listening are not going to have any idea who this guy is, but his name is Kinky Friedman. He's a popular country singer in Central Texas. I'd like to think all of Texas, maybe. He's got a band called Kinky Friedman and the Jew Boys. I presume they're Jewish.
I would hope so.
And I met Kinky Friedman once before. He was doing a book signing over at Barnes & Noble. Funny enough, I met him in the restroom. Dude's taking a piss and then finishes up. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Kinky Friedman. So I see him again. And, you know, it was pretty cool because he pulls up to the booth. I'm like, sir, you're not going to believe this, but we actually met before in the pisser of Barnes & Noble. And he at least pretended to remember. He's like, oh, yeah. That was like 3 or 4 years after the fact.
It was very clearly a, sure. Get away from this fucker now.
Oh, no, you'd be surprised. We were actually talking for like 5-10 minutes or so.
Oh, really?
It was cool. It was cool. The only reason he cut it short is because a fire truck was coming behind him and he wanted to get out of the way. So
that's fair.
Yep. But yeah, that definitely made my night. And there are many nights where boredom struck as well. And I'm not saying I did this, but I know a couple people who did at the time. And it was easy to get away with, but you could totally get hammered in that booth.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say jack off, but but yeah, I can see that too.
Sir, I'm a man of integrity.
Well, I wasn't. Well, you did preface that with saying, I never did this. So it's like, okay. And I can very easily picture being able to get away with that too.
What is he doing in that booth? Oh, no.
Don't come over here, man.
I'm surprised anyone got away with anything. There were cameras pointing at the booth themselves. All you would have to do is just take a quick look at the footage, and I guess you could see some guy hammering down buds. But yeah, there was like a compartment. There was a compartment in the booth which like led to all the computer circuitry. I'm told by my supervisor at the time, he opened it up and found cans of Budweiser, like, by the dozens in there.
Oh my God.
And apparently this guy never got fired. So, I guess he made sure he was never under 50 cents whenever he was cashing out in the mornings. But probably my most memorable story is also my least favorite to tell because it's disgusting.
Okay.
So, this was Halloween night, which, of course, Halloween's going to bring out all the weirdos.
Okay.
Well, let me just preface this. If it wasn't a full moon in the sky, I certainly got my fair share of moon watching that evening. So, car pulls up. It's a Ford Explorer. And the windows are heavily tinted. But this guy pulls up. He doesn't roll down his window. He rolls down the window behind him, puts his arm around to give me money, and I turn around so I can pull out my change counter and present him with change. I go, here's your change, sir. Couldn't even finish that sentence before I saw man bent over, exposing his butthole and sack right in my face.
Well then.
Yeah, I believe my exact words were, here's your... Oh, God damn it. Let the nigga speed off. So, suffice to say, most nights were pretty chill. I just hung out in a booth, dicked around on my phone, read a book. Got promoted to supervisor for a while, so I was clowning around inside.
Yeah.
The toll plaza itself. That job ended when the state, I believe, wanted to go fully automatic on toll booths without, you know, human operation involved. So that kind of miffed me. I was like, well, now I'm jobless.
Yeah, I was wondering when that happened.
Yeah, that was like end of 2012.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. One more tale from the toll booth.
Go on.
Well, I remember last year how, not last year, last week, sorry. We were talking about one of my fun dates and how she perceived the end of the world to be in 2012.
Yes.
She was recalling a night where she saw like the sky go like crazy green colored or something. That happened to me at the booth as well. I remember I was looking and I was facing away from the city. So it's pretty much just desolate country land at that point.
And sounds like most of Texas.
Yep. Out of nowhere. Yeah, just crazy. The entire horizon just has this crazy blue-green glow. And it's going on for like 30 seconds. I'm just like, holy shit. This is the end. And again, this was 2012. It wasn't December 21st, 2012, but it was 2012. And I was like, wow, the Mayans were only a few months off. I was damn near shat myself. But then any car that pulled up, I was like, yo, did you just see that? And they're like, what are you talking about? They missed out. They missed out on the end of the world, I guess. They don't know we're living in a simulation. But I know.
Well, you know now. You didn't know prior to Bird Girl.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, wow, that was a weird sight in the sky. Oh, well, no big deal. Someone's going to try to debunk me. And that was just a transformer.
Maybe it's just a Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
In Texas.
In Texas, yeah. I don't think so, Tim.
Good times, well, good times.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
I have concluded my stories.
Yep. Well, there will be many more stories to come. I'm sure we could do another part two or sequel to this at some point.
That would be awesome, but I think we should definitely push that off to like a distant future date.
No, of course. Yeah, no, yeah. That's going to be once we've like totally run out of ideas.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be a while.
Our listeners have so much to look forward to between robots and the life cycle of carrots.
You better get researching on the life cycle of carrots, because I'm not doing that.
Oh, believe you me, I've got my thesis totally written. Get ready. We're in for an adventure.
Okay.
But for now, until next time, I'm Hody.
Cheers. Reds, I'm the Mag.
And we will see you next time.
Woo!